The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other.
Welcome everyone to Wednesday War Games, episode 21. Joining me is my loyal and steadfast co-host Liam Jones. I never introduced myself. I wonder if people listening to this podcast and it's like, who the hell's this guy? Because I always pitch to you, so people know your name. But if they don't read the description, they have no idea who I am.
Would you like me to pitch to you?
Yeah, please, introduce me.
And we also got the other guy.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm the other guy. The person who talks on this podcast more than the other guy.
All right, just starting off with digs, cool.
It's not even a dig, it's like when I dropped it, it's like, really, in theory, because I guide the ship, I probably should talk a little more, because I do like the recapping and setting up of things, so like doing the heavy lifting of the podcast, as some would say.
All right, very cool. I'll just leave, and you can just handle it.
How's Australia today, Liam?
Yeah, it's average. How is Ireland today? Yeah, you know, I never ask how your country is. You always ask how mine is.
We have our fourth storm in like, or is it fifth storm in like a week? I don't know. It's basically rained for, I don't know, 2 months, and we've had like three different storms. It's good fun.
I like rain. Rain's neat.
I do like the sound of rain. It's enjoyable when it just bounces off windows for, it gives me an excuse not to leave the house, which I really don't need, but I still take.
Like, somebody should just film rain for like 30 minutes and release it as a podcast.
Excuse me, 5 minutes. It's called 5 minutes of silence. It's a masterpiece.
Is that, that's your magnum opus?
Yes, that is when I die, they'll be like, and known for the groundbreaking podcast, 5 minutes of silence. Not Wednesday War Games, not Podcast a Week, not The Weekend Show, not anything I've done related to Impact. Yes, it's 5 minutes of silence that will get me. The storm is called Jorge. This is Storm Jorge.
After Jorge Masvidal?
Sure.
Makes sense.
We've been running through them, because there was Ellen, there was, Dennis, there was Storm Dennis, then there was Storm Kira. I don't even know. How do we get the J? I don't even know. Because E-F-G-H-I. So there's like four other names that we've gone through before we got into Jorge, so.
Who gets to name the storms? Do they have any sort of copyright over the storms after they name the storms? These are the real questions.
I'm looking at Metair in Ireland's weather service, and their header picture on Twitter. This is even more confusing. I assume that Storm Jorge didn't originate in Ireland, which is the reason the names are different. But they have a little calendar up the top with all the storm names, and they have like them ticked off as they're going.
That's so adorable.
So there's Lorenzo, there's Alaya, I think is A, then we have Elsa, for some reason we went to E, then Brendan, Kira, Dennis. Would you like to know the rest of them all the way through to W, just when the storms come, these are what they're going to be called, Liam?
Sure, I might as well be prepared.
Next one is Ellen, then Francis, then Gerda, Gerda, Hugh, yep. Iris, Jan. Sorry, it's pronounced Yan. They actually make that clear. They put Yan underneath it, so the J is a hard J, soft J. So, oh, Liam, we have Kitty, and L. The L storm is going to be called Liam this time, Liam.
I'm going to come through Ireland strong and hard.
You are a blowhard.
Oh.
Oh, so close. We have a Mora. It's so close to Mauro.
Oh, that would have been awful. The Noah, worst one by far.
Olivia, Piet, Roisin, Samir, Tara, Vince, and Willow. So those are the storm names for 2019-2020, according to Matt Aaron.
I look forward to Willow.
That's Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy will just swoop on in, making on his umbrella laughing noises. I love that that's their header image. It's like, look forward to all these storms.
What was Willow's like highlight in TNA?
He jumped off the cage at lockdown once. That's about it.
That's pretty neat.
Actually, no. The highlight is probably the final deletion when Jeff Hardy was dumped into the lake and came back out as Willow, and then he was tased to death by a senior Benjamin.
Final deletion ruled. Imagine getting mad over that.
Yeah, people are dumb. It's just people are dumb.
Speaking of people that are dumb,
we have two wrestling shows to talk about this week. AEW won last week, so we will talk about them first this week, as usual, frankly. And it's not going to change anytime soon. All of the wrestling.
You'd like, your favorite thing in the world is just giving away the results immediately.
I'm not going to deceive my audience. NXT sucked, but we'll talk about that in the back half of the show.
All right, we'll get there.
Opened with a 30-minute Iron Man match between Pac and Kenny Omega, in which Pac won in overtime, or sudden death, I suppose, technically, not overtime.
Omega won, not Pac.
The same thing, they're the same person. But Kenny Omega defeated Pac with the One-Winged Angel 2-1 in sudden death in a tremendous wrestling match. And Kenny Omega, sneaky wrestler of the year.
Yeah. Like, the amount of like credit people were giving the tag match last year, I'm going to give to this match last year, last week. I'm going to give to this match this week. I thought this match was way better. This match is a low-end match of the year candidate. It took every single Iron Man trope that is out there, and then they made it good. And they filled it in with like constant action, constant excitement. Kenny had great gear, so that always helps a match. And one of my favorite moments was before the match even started, when they announced that they were opening with the 30-minute Iron Man match, two people in the crowd hugged. And that's nice. The kind of energy I expect from my pro wrestling shows.
What if I give you a hug during this podcast?
I will be very impressed.
Didn't you give this match 4.75?
Yeah.
And you call that a low-end match of the year candidate?
I was going by Joe Lanza's standards, but a low-end match of the year candidate is 4.5.
Yeah.
It was a mid-range match of the year candidate.
This is a really tremendous opener. I preferred the tag title match last week, to be honest. But
well, you're a fool. How about that?
I thought everything up until the DQ was just absolutely superb. And the then DQ the story.
Rude. What are you talking about?
My problem isn't with the DQ, it's after. It's the rest of the match after the DQ. I didn't think lived up to that first lead up to the
that
DQ.
That was the whole point of that, though.
Yeah, but
the point
worse.
Was Pac had to cheat because he was getting outworked, and then he had to slow Kenny down, and he did that by getting the DQ. Then he took over control, and it was more methodical and slow paced. That was the story of the match.
Yeah, but it's not a good story if it's boring.
It was a good story. It wasn't boring. You just have no attention span.
No, it just wasn't as good.
It was.
Dude, being word lying on the mat for 12 minutes isn't entertaining, Liam. Come on.
I beg to differ. I put over that Nakajima Hideki Suzuki match last week.
Well, there you go. I thought the storytelling of the back half of the match was very good, but the action did not nearly live up to the first half of the match.
That's why they gave you the first half of the match.
Well, that's bad pacing, then. You shouldn't have the start and the middle be the best, and then just close to the end. I'm saying, this is a great match.
You hate, why did you hate it, Darren?
I love the DQ finish a lot, because like Pac didn't... like. It's not the typical, like, oh, the heel just goes for the DQ. It's like Pac was on his heels, like he knew he was about to lose a fall. So he's like, I'm going to take the DQ loss to turn the tide of this match. Instead of, you know, being... it's not a cheap DQ. It's not a DQ that doesn't make sense. It's not a DQ where he just hit him with a chair for no damn reason. It's like Pac was going to be beaten, and he used the chair to turn the tide. He lost the fall, but he gained that fall right back and dominated the rest of the match until he lost in sudden death. So I like the storytelling a lot. The Young Bucks at ringside instead of Hangman Page was really, really good, because, like, there's the subtle nuance there of every time they encourage him to get back in the ring, they're throwing him back to the Wolves, so he gets murdered ahead of their World Tag Team title match on Saturday. So there's that little nuance of, like, yes, they're there to encourage him and help him, but every time they put him back in the ring with Pac, he's being worn down more for their tag title match. It's like, is that a conscious choice on behalf of the Young Bucks?
Yeah, there was a few like points of this match that I really liked on that kind of broader sense level. The first bit that made note of me was like Park was on his heels and was about to lose like roughly, you know, what would you say, 14, 15 minutes into the match?
Yeah, I think it was close to the 16, but yeah, just on the toward the second half of the match.
Roughly the same amount of time that it took Kenny to beat him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a nice, like, interesting... I don't know if that was a purposeful throwback, but I'm going to choose to take it as one. I really liked that they gave Park two outs in the match, too, for losing. After Park hits the shooting star press on the table, takes Kenny down, he gets in. Matt literally has to throw Kenny in at the end, give him that little boost. So that gives, like, Park should have been up 2-1 at that point. Well, was that? Yeah, that was 2-1, yeah. And I also liked at the end when they went into overtime, Park wasn't ready while Kenny was, and Kenny managed to bum rush him before Park had been like ready and was ready to go. So I liked that they gave him some outs and he didn't just straight up lose.
I feel like you kind of have to do Kenny and Park again after this.
Yeah, but now you can do it in a bigger sense, I feel. You don't have to do it right away.
That's true, and I feel like that first fall was much better than that last TV match.
Oh, I was disappointed by the TV match. Like, this is the match that I always wanted from Omega and Park.
And they certainly delivered. This is like good wrestling, good story. Like I say, the back half of the match didn't do the same for me that the front half of them. It's still a really damn good wrestling match. Really interesting storytelling just mixed in. And stupid shooting star at the table just, oh no. Oh.
It could have gone really badly because I feel like as soon as I saw Park like standing on the turnbuckle and like taking a while to get his balance, it's like this isn't gonna go smoothly.
No, he did. Is that him like selling it, or does he really take that long to get his balance every damn time?
I don't know, because like when he goes up for the drop kick, he does it quicker.
Mm.
So maybe it's just him selling it, or maybe it's him selling that at that point he was like what 18, 20 minutes into the match, whatever it was.
Yeah,
really good match.
It's good pro wrestling. If you're like, oh, it's an Iron Man match between Pac and Kenny Omega, I hope that's what it seems like in my head. It's what it seems like in your head.
Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting, like, right after they announced, like, the two action figures with Kenny, they're like, yo, Kenny, get some new gear.
Naturally, that's the way of wrestling.
We gotta make some more figures.
Tony interviewed Pac after the match. Pac was challenged, I guess. Orange Cassidy wandered out, I suppose. Pac just knocked him out.
Pac was offended by Orange Cassidy's aura.
I kind of like that, like, this sets up Orange Cassidy versus Pac at the pay-per-view, and that's kind of a match they've almost kind of been building to.
I was going to say, because I feel like I've mentioned me wanting Pac versus Orange Cassidy like 3 or 4 times on the show, like, since we've started.
It's weird that I think it's kind of tacked on at the very end of this pay-per-view cycle to throw it on the pay-per-view, which I'm very excited for that match. That match should be stupid and fun, and Pac will kill him and Orange Cassidy will get gigantic reactions. But that's like, there's multiple matches in which Pac and Orange Cassidy have had face-offs, and every time Pac just punches him in the face and kills him. And yeah, they've actually kind of built this pay-per-view match under the radar, so there's more than just they added it the week of the show.
It kind of feels like how we talk about AEW having the two stories per person. Like, this was the other Pac story that we never really went full circle on.
Yeah, so they will face off a Revolution on Saturday, and Orange Cassidy's going to try, as Chuck Taylor said later in the show.
That's such a good line, because it completely validates the whole Orange Cassidy character.
Yeah, that's the
it's
best.
So this perfect. Feels... he's just the dude who doesn't try. And if he did, he will probably be very good. And one day when he does, he'll be the biggest star.
Lexi was outside the locker room of the Painmaker Posse.
As we are all card-carrying members of the Painmaker Posse.
Yes, the Inner Circle. I like the way like they have the Inner Circle name, but this is his fight crew.
It's him taking the piss out of the Nightmare Family.
Yeah. She knocked on the door. Jake Hager opened the door, looked there, standing at her, saying nothing, and she eventually gave up her attempt at an interview.
I like the shtick that he doesn't talk.
He just stands there, looking dopey.
He's a weird man. I'm really excited for his match with Dustin, because I just want to see what he can do, or what he wants to do now that he's inspired.
And that feels like every match on this damn pay-per-view feels like a hot match, but that feels like a hot match.
Like, it feels like a hot match despite having, like, the least amount of build in, like, the last month.
Like, when Dustin comes out later in the show to brawl with Hager, like, they get a big reaction. People are into that feud.
Like when I was watching that brawl later on, when Darby ran out, I had the thought of like, wow, this is a hot match, and it's not just because of Darby. Like when Sammy cut him off, I was like, yes, because I feel like Darby had been getting the best of Sammy throughout like the whole build. So I'm glad that Sammy got a little bit at the end.
Well, except when you know Sammy slammed his throat on a skateboard.
But that was a team. That was a team effort.
Fair enough. Well, the team were all there too.
Speaking of the team, we got a new Inner Circle theme.
Is it new, or was it the one that was a few weeks ago?
It's the one that's a few weeks ago, but we don't hear it, so I always forget about it. I wish they would just use Judas. Maybe that would mute the Judas pop, though, if they hear it like three times in the night.
And when when it's Judas without Jericho, I get when Jericho's not there, you know?
Yeah.
If the Inner Circle comes out to anything but Judas with Chris Jericho there too, I'll be very upset. But I get them having like an alternate theme for Sammy Guevara and LAX, because the people will expect Jericho when they hear Judas, and if they don't see him, they may be upset.
I'd say that might be a problem, but they are bad guys, so maybe they'll go, "Oh, that's it's not Jericho, boo."
Yeah, more upset with Sammy Guevara. The Inner Circle defeated the other way around. Jurassic Express defeated the Inner Circle even after Darby interfered and prevented Sammy from hitting him with the slapjack.
I don't really have anything to say about the match, though. The match was kind of meh, but maybe it was just because they came off the 30-minute Iron Man match.
I liked this match a lot. I thought this match was a ton of fun.
Yeah, I kind of like zoned out while watching it a bit.
His brain was still in Kenny Omega land.
Yeah, as it always is, to be fair.
Yeah, I thought this was a really fun six-man tag. Just wacky moves, them going a million miles an hour for 10 minutes. Yeah, there is nothing more I wanted from this six-man tag team match. And once again, Jungle Boy scores a win over Sammy, which, like that's the future core of AEW. Like, Darby, Sammy, and Jungle Boy are, like, they're the ones
and,
you look at.
You can chuck Hangman in there, too.
Hangman's already far along. Like these.
Yeah,
these
but I'm just saying, like, as far as the same, like, class... Mm. Like, age bracket, like, they're your four, I feel.
These are the people that you want to look at in 3 years and say, AEW has done such a fantastic job elevating these people into main eventers, and hopefully they get there, because obviously they're not even remotely near main eventers now, except Hangman.
Yeah, but, like, one day I want to be talking about Hangman versus Darby for the title in, like, All Out or something, be like, oh yeah, that's a match that was as hot as Cody and Jericho, or Jericho and Mox, or yeah.
That's where you want to get these guys to go, and hopefully they'll get there.
You could also include MJF in that class, who was in the next segment.
Sure. MJF. Cody had a video package, which I thought was the one of the bigger mistakes on the show. I think one of these people needed a go-home promo, probably MJF over Cody, because Cody had the big like moonsault off the cage moment last week. They did a video package for the feud, which was a good video package, but I think giving this 3 minutes to MJF to cut like a big go home promo, even if it's just backstage, you know, even if it's just a pre-tape, cutting a big go home promo on Cody, I think would have been a more effective use of this 3 minutes.
I agree, but we also got the countdown show right after this, so I could see them thinking like that kind of takes that space.
But more people will watch this. That's the thing, though.
Yeah, but I haven't even watched the countdown thing yet, so I don't even know if there was a segment. I'm just assuming because it's like the second biggest feud.
There was, but I haven't watched it either.
We will watch it eventually, and that's all that matters.
The Best Friends defeated the Butcher and the Blade in a perfect... I don't remember anything about this match, to be honest. I don't know, I remember the Orange Cassidy and Bunny spots. That's all I remember from this match.
Yep, I remember that as well. Yep, I remember the Butcher was cool in it.
How so?
As I often think he is, because he's just a big dude and he beats people up, and that's really neat.
You like cool mustaches, don't you?
I do like cool mustaches. I like his whole look. I think I'm just like, I want him to be world champ, I feel. But not for like wrestling ability or overness. I just like him.
You just like looking at him? You want him to see him holding the belt?
I think he's very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I suppose. That's one reason for world
champion. Do I have a type? Is this a thing?
Liam's discovering his love of bears.
Oh no. How do you feel about Butcher and Blade losing to Best Friends?
Best Friends are higher in the pecking order, I'm fine.
I don't know, I assumed like with the way that Butcher and the Blade came in that they were going to be bigger deal, more protected maybe.
But then at the same time, they have not at any stage been protected since they brought in, so I don't really expect them to beat Best Friends. And maybe. If you ask me which of these two teams should be prioritized, especially because one has a pay-per-view match and the other doesn't, the answer is Best Friends.
You bring a valid point. I can't argue with any of that.
I guess technically they don't. Orange has a pay-per-view match.
They'll probably be out there with him, though.
Yeah. After the match, Tony interviewed, we had the setup, the official setup for Pac against Orange Cassidy, where Chuck said he will in fact try.
And then Trent said, we don't actually know if that's true or not.
We'll find out. He gave him a thumbs up. Then the most wholesome part of the show was during the break on fight. The poor TNT viewers didn't get this, but where they did the best friends hug with Tony Schiavone. Then Orange put the glasses on Tony Schiavone and he turned and gave the thumbs up, and it was all very wholesome and delightful.
Have you seen the Trent tweet?
No, I haven't.
Trent tweeted with the picture of Tony Schiavone wearing Orange Cassidy's shades, go clean some teeth, dickhead, at Real Britt Baker.
Oh, got her.
Yeah, that's some good shit. Trent's good at tweeting sometimes.
What do you mean sometimes? When isn't he good at tweeting?
He had some weird political stuff a couple of years back.
Liam, we're a big-time podcast now.
We're going big time. This is a big-time rush.
Yes, sure. We have two, not one, Liam, but two ads on this show. Wednesday War Games is brought to you this week by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. ZipRecruiter sends your job to 100 of the web's leading job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, our listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. That's ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Do wrestling ever, like, advertise on job sites? They probably should.
What would they ever... I mean, I'm sure they do for behind-the-scenes stuff.
For office jobs?
Like, not even office stuff, but, like, production. Social media management.
If you're a wrestling company listening to this, ZipRecruiter, right there for you.
Yeah.
And you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/VOW. Jim Ross being explained what a magical girl was is probably the highlight of his wrestling career.
No, that wasn't even the best bit. The best bit was Taz knowing.
Taz watches anime.
Taz is a big ol' weeb.
Taz loves his anime.
I'm sure he does.
He's basically an anime character himself.
He could be.
There's a guy who always, like, dresses in the same outfit and has color schemes.
Yeah. He even put over orange on this show.
He passed on the color orange to Orange Cassidy.
By the way, his shirt isn't orange. It's white and black.
Yes. It just feels like a missed opportunity.
One day. That'll be, like, the special edition.
But, yeah, Hikaru Shida defeated Swole, Shanna, and Yuka Sakazaki in a match. It was fine.
I thought it was pretty good. They had some, like, weird moments to it. Like, Swole just waiting out there for 30 seconds before Shanna did a dive. Like, yeah. That wasn't her fault. That was more the cameras. Like, they should have taken it off of her.
Yeah, that's bad editing. It's like, it's when someone does a move out of nowhere and, like, they film them the whole time. It's like, no, stay on the person that's taking the move out of nowhere.
Yeah. I didn't expect Shida to win this.
Well, Shida's, I think, been the most pushed of the people in this match.
Yeah, but Big Swole got the confrontation last week.
Do you think Chris Statlander obviously has the flu? She pulled out of a bar wrestling show this week. Do you think she was meant to have some kind of number one contenders match this week and they kind of just announced her as number one contender to get her through to Saturday without her having to wrestle here?
Maybe. I suppose that's like one of the benefits of having the ranking system. Like, if something like that happens, you can just be like, well, she was number one. It's fine.
I suppose. But
I would have liked to have seen a Big Swole Chris Statlander match, though.
Yeah, it's a little weird that they seem to set up Swole and Statlander as the number one and two contenders, and then just like, Statlander's getting the title shot.
Maybe that'll be a point of contention for Big Swole in the future.
She is getting over. She's always been over, because they did that tremendous feature on her on Dark, which is really, really, really good.
I was watching this show, and it was the first time I was like, man, in the time from where this started to now, they've really managed to get most of their mid-card over.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, music hits, there's a reaction. Because at the start, like, understandably so, that wasn't the case.
And particularly noticed that this week with Jurassic Express, it's like...
But they've always got a good reaction, though. Because people loved the Luchasaurus stuff. But
like when their music hits, it's just like, oh. Well, it's not just like responding to Luchasaurus doing flips. It's like, oh, like this trio is like just super over.
And whenever Dustin's music hits a minute into the song, they realize it too.
Dustin, I think Sheeta's music has the same problem. It has a very long intro before it actually gets to her theme and entrance.
But the key would be they need to have an edit for when they do run-ins.
But yeah, Dustin's in particular, it's like, oh, Dustin Rhodes, yeah, I like him.
The problem is it starts so quiet, so you can't even tell what music's playing. You just hear something in the background, you're like, what's that? Then it's like, oh, it's Dustin. Then he gets a great reaction.
The Dark Order announced that they're facing Scorpio Sky and Kazarian at Revolution, and then Daniels will become
obsolete!
He'll fade away and classify himself as obsolete.
Obsolete. So, if it's not Matt Hardy at this point, come on.
Well, it's going to be Marty. That's the big reveal.
That would be such a massive swerve if they somehow got Marty to come and do it after all this.
But, yeah, there's a lot of teasing that it'll be Matt Hardy.
Well, we know one person who it's not going to be now.
Who?
Lance Archer.
That's the ultimate swerve, I'm telling you, Liam. That's why they announce him
for TV.
Yeah, the swerve is that they make you think it's not going to be him by announcing him for TV, and then it turns out to be him.
Well, I hope it isn't him, because I much prefer him as, like, a Lone Ranger. But then, you know what the thing is? I think it's very weird bringing Lance Archer in if you're going to bring Brody Lee in, because I feel like they would occupy the same kind of space.
You can have two tall people, Liam, it's fine.
Yeah, but like two tall, unaffiliated monsters is kind of what I wanted for now. Like, he's kind of taking that space, I feel.
Just make one a babyface and one a heel, and you're fine.
All right, fine. Staunch defender of the Murder Hawk over here.
Yeah, I've always been a big Lance Hoyt guy. But all the way back to Hoytomania and his tag team with Kid Cash.
To be fair, he does have a really cool jacket now.
He does, and he has a Red Hawk Mohawk, which is pretty objectively cool.
I hope he gets his dumb butt rock theme with him still. Everybody dies. That shit rules.
Jim Ross interviewed the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Page, and God, I love this story. The story's so good.
So good. And we finally get the Bucks showing some like dickish tendencies.
The layers of just like passive aggressiveness and false kindness and niceties that are really just people hiding their true feelings.
And it finally starts to crumble. It finally starts to break.
Yeah, the veneer just drops, and Matt and Nick is just like, you were a jobber in Ring of Honor. We made your career.
We brought you into the Bullet Club. We put you on our show. And an underrated line from this that I'm not seeing a lot of talk about is Paige talking about how this title is like the highlight of his career, and the Bucks are trying to immediately take it away from him.
Yeah.
It's like, that was like a moment of like actually cutting deep. I was like, damn, that's real.
And I really like Kenny is the only one here that is like objective peacemaker, wants to be friends with everybody, and the Bucks clearly hate Hangman Page, and Hangman Page clearly hates the Bucks, and they're all just like putting up this front for Kenny that, oh, we're all the elite, we're all friends, and when it peels away, and then when the hatred shows, and when the actual dynamics of this story play out, God, it's such good storytelling. Like, wrestling can be like this all the time.
One subtle thing I liked when Paige was, like, actually going off and, like, getting his feelings out, Kenny just kind of, like, slumped into his chair and was like, you go, I'm not going to interrupt. Yeah. This was such a good segment.
This is the best story on the show leading into the pay-per-view, and what I assume will be, hopefully, an absolutely tremendous pay-per-view match. And they built to it so well.
I kind of don't want them to lose the belts.
Yeah, but then you're convinced it's going to be a revival in Young Bucks.
Yeah, but, like, what if it isn't? But then I'm also kind of convinced that it's going to be Paige and Omega, so...
So you kind of have to do the title change to put all that in motion.
Also, probably not be the best thing for the Bucks to not get the belts again.
Again, yes.
So, oh well, we'll see at Revolution. It'll be a great match, though.
Yeah, we'll do a full Revolution preview at the very end of the show. Lance Archer debuts next week before our main event weigh-in between Jon Moxley and Chris Jericho, in which I thought that they did the stalling bit too long. It's like, all right, get to the... I know you have 12 minutes left on the show or whatever, but do get to it eventually. And they did get to it, and then they did a headbutt. Jericho started bleeding, and they had a big wild brawl which is now the AEW classic, where it's like, a bunch of the pay-per-view matches, go out, have a brawl, everyone fights before
Music
Jericho
hits,
got...
Get the pop.
Yep, and the fight into the crowd, and then do it again with Darby and Sammy, and then break a skateboard over... Darby's head.
And the goddamn dipping dots.
and the goddamn Dippin' Dots. If JR had the same passion for this television show as he had for the Dippin' Dots, everything would be fine.
I wonder if he's got a side deal with the Dippin' Dots. Like, he obviously has a side deal to pimp his website, because he tried to do it like 3 times on this show.
Oh, Jim, getting his shit in. Jericho hit the pendulum paradigm shift. Why do I always think it's called pendulum shift? Maybe because that's a better name, because it's a pendulum that he drops on his head. Anyway, Jericho hit the paradigm shift onto the scale after they weighed in.
Well, Jericho never weighed in.
Yeah, but yeah, so we will never know how much Jericho weighs.
I really was hoping he was going to weigh in with the belt on his shoulder.
So it would be like 340 pounds.
Yeah, I was like, that'd be a great bit. And yeah, Inner Circle stands tall heading into the pay-per-view.
And all of them except LAX have pay-per-view matches this time, so...
Ah, well, they got one last time. You can't have a pay-per-view match every 3 months.
That would be too much to ask.
Yeah.
Before we go to NXT, we have a second sponsor for this week's show. Two sponsors, as we said, Big Time Podcast.
Garrett, if you were to guess on average how many days people in the US have to wait to see a doctor, what would you say?
Well, I could probably go see my doctor this afternoon, so hopefully not more than one.
I could also see mine this afternoon. But the Americans have to wait around 29 days to see a doctor in major US cities. If you're dealing with a condition like erectile dysfunction, you want treatment ASAP. That's why our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your home. Roman makes it convenient to get the treatment you need on your schedule. Just grab your phone or computer, complete a free online visit, and you'll hear back from a US licensed physician within 24 hours. And if a doctor decides that treatment is right for you, Roman's Pharmacy can ship your medication to you with free 2-day shipping. You also get free unlimited follow-ups with your doctor anytime you have questions or want to adjust your treatment plan. With Roman, there are no commitments and you can cancel anytime. So if you're struggling with ED, go to getroman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's getroman.com/VOW for a free online visit and free 2-day shipping.
That brings us to WWE NXT. Liam, I hated this show.
It was real boring, huh?
I just, like, this show sucks. It just sucks. There's nothing happening. There's no purpose. There's no direction. There's no urgency. There's no energy. Nobody is over. None of the stories are connecting. And the wrestling is all just there. And some of it's good. Some of it's better than others. But most of it's just fine. And this is a wrestling show that just... Ah, it sucks, Liam. This wrestling show is a soulless, empty pit of misery.
I was watching Grimes versus Dijakovic, and I just was like, these shows aren't even in the same league as each other.
Like, Cameron Grimes, who cares? Who cares about the Hat Man after his feud with Kushida, and now he's beaten Dominik Dijakovic, and he's not going to go anywhere. We all know that. We've watched this television show for 4 months.
Yeah, next week he's going to lose to, like, Bronson Reed or something, and it's not going to amount to anything.
And that's the same thing on everything on this show. Everything is the last a week. Austin Theory gets a one-week feud with Tommaso Ciampa. Xia Li is just a prop in the feud with Dakota Kai. The Forgotten Sons are babyfaces. We'll get to that later. Bianca Belair is just a stepping stool for Charlotte and Rhea Ripley. All of these people don't exist for any reason by themselves. They're just there to lose to people or do nothing on this boring-ass show where nothing happens.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Six,
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, thank God they're there, because what else would they be doing right now?
There's no possible... Like, when you look at AEW's roster, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes, Dominik Dijakovic aren't any better or worse than Darby Allin or Sammy Guevara. Maybe even they're all a little better.
But they're not being presented in the same way. They're not being presented as future stars. They're being presented as guys who are there to lose. They're being presented as jobber to the stars.
And, Darby has mostly been used as a jobber to the stars.
But he actually still feels like he still has his aura.
He's lost the Pack. He's lost the John Moxley. He's lost the Chris Jericho. But he still feels more important. He feels like those have elevated. He feels meaningful on the television program. As opposed to these people, like Xia Li. Who cares? Remember when she kicked somebody in the face and busted them open? I don't even remember who she kicked in the face. But that went nowhere.
That was Aaliyah.
Who hasn't been on the show since. It's like all of these people. Kushida's disappeared again. And DJZ does nothing. And all these people.
Well, the problem is that they've signed 300 people just to have people. And they don't have enough show time for it. And even if they did, they wouldn't be able to get everyone over. Because they don't try to get anyone over. Because they focus on 5 people on the show.
Even the 5 people on the show don't even get over. It's like Johnny Gargano attacked Tommaso Ciampa. To basically no reaction.
Tommaso Ciampa has lost all of his aura. He doesn't feel like a star anymore.
No. No, but that's the thing. Nobody on this show feels... Not even Adam Cole feels like a star in the show anymore.
So this was a show?
This is the week in which I've, just lost patience with NXT. I'm like, what are you doing? This show is... It's not even remotely near the show it used to be. At least it used to be, boring but logical stories where people got elevated and built up and built the great takeover payoffs. Now it's just, it's soulless and empty and meandering, and it's just 2 hours for the sake of filling 2 hours.
Yeah. Who cares? The problem is, who cares? How could you care about any of these people?
You can't. You don't, there's no reason to. There's no real stories. All the stories are, I attacked you, we're going to wrestle next week, and then we might wrestle the week after that. That's the extent of the stories. There's no, name the best promo on NXT since the show debuted on frickin' USA.
I was going to say, the only thing that was, made me want, I wanted to invest in on this show was Bianca, and then she loses because she's, a footnote in a feud for 2 other people.
The only person on this show, the only person that has some amount of positive momentum is Bianca Belair, and, yeah, she's secondary to the main event title feud.
Hatman won after distraction from Pervert Goth.
Oh. And this, the match was fine. They had a perfectly decent little match, but who cares? And who cares about Damian Priest against Dijakovic? And who cares about Damian Priest against Keith? Are they going to do a 3-way feud? God forbid. If they do,
they're going to chuck Killian Dane in there, and it's going to be a 4-way.
Oh, why does anything exist? Killian Dane's another one of these people on this show who's constantly doing something, but never doing something meaningful.
And problem is, he also stinks, and I don't want to see him on my TV.
Remember, I don't even remember his old name. Big Damo. Remember Big Damo?
Remember Big Damo versus Shinsuke Nakamura?
I was at that show, Liam.
That match ruled.
Yeah. God damn NXT. Hey,
furthermore, remember Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's a different show altogether.
Yep, so Finn Balor.
Finn Balor, yeah. Actually, no, there's something else I want to give out about first. William Regal announces that at NXT TakeOver Tampa, there will be a number one contenders ladder match for the women's number one contenders match. And I'm like, why? They always do this. It's like, why is it a ladder match? Why are you just doing a ladder match for the sake of doing a ladder match? It's like, oh, that's what WWE does. We'd throw the ladder match on WrestleMania, or we'll throw the ladder match on a TakeOver.
It's the spiritual successor to the Money in the Bank ladder match. Then that became the IC title ladder match for a couple of years. And now it's the NXT Women's Number One Contendership ladder match, obviously.
It's just they have to do a ladder match for the sake of doing a ladder match. God forbid make the ladder match meaningful or make it like a part of a story or a payoff to something. They're just going to do a ladder match.
Yeah. What was like the last ladder match in WWE that was a ladder match not because of we need to do a ladder match on this show and it was just, oh, it made sense?
Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
That's the last one that I can think of. There was the Nash. No, that was a TLC. No, the Survivor Series? When was the Nash sledgehammer on a pole ladder match?
I think, was that like an Extreme Rules, maybe?
So that might have been technically one, but does that really count?
It's also a get the sledgehammer on a fucking thing. Like, who cares?
Yes, it's also a Triple H against Kevin Nash ladder match. So that's
I'm going to give it to Shawn and Jericho.
Which was, what, 2009? 2008?
Yeah.
When was that match?
I think it might have been early 2009.
For the love of no mercy, so it would have been...
Over a decade ago.
Because, yeah, all of these ladder matches have just become, at TLC, we'll do a ladder match, or at Money in the Bank, we'll do a ladder match. It's never, we'll do a ladder match, because we feel like it makes sense to do a ladder match.
What, you mean NXT, War Games, let's do the War Games. WWE, Hell in a Cell, let's do the Hell in a Cell.
That's so stupid. It's just, that's why is it... Why care about anything? It's just happening because the branding dictates it happens, not the story. And like, you wouldn't mind if they built the stories to these gimmick pay-per-views. Like, they know they have Hell in a Cell coming up. They know they have like Money in the Bank or TLC coming up. And they never build stories that make sense to do Hell in a Cell or TLC. It's just like, whatever the main event stories happen to be during that period happen to then become Hell in a Cell and TLC matches. Or in this case, pointless number one contenders ladder matches.
Gotta live by the brand, gotta die by the brand.
Finn Balor comes out. Big heel Finn Balor is attacked by big heel Stable. Why? Like, I get what they're doing. This is probably going to be the NXT TakeOver Dublin main event where Finn Balor will be a big baby face. But Finn Balor is the top heel. Well, maybe second heel after freaking Adam Cole. Second heel on the show. And he's just feuding with the big heel Stable from NXT UK. And I'm like, why?
Well, I think this is his face turn because I think it's going to be Cole and Balor at TakeOver whatever Tampa.
He's gonna have the Cole match at TakeOver Tampa, and then 2 weeks later he's gonna have the Walter match at TakeOver Dublin.
Yeah, do it, cowards.
Sure.
I hate Balor's promos. They're so cringy.
All the promos on the show are bad,
but like his ones are extra cringy because they're like covered in a layer of smock. And it's gross.
It's again, he's not there to actually say anything. He's like, I conquered Mexico. I conquered the NXT title and the IC title. I'm like,
Marsh. He's not a moves guy. He's not a stooge.
I hate everything. I hate this show. I hated this episode of NXT. Like, I hated it. Why?
The best part the best part about this segment was Imperium coming out, and then like it wasn't even as good as it could have been because Walter wasn't even there.
Yeah,
I liked Marcel Bethel's like running counter deal.
Yeah, that ruled when he cut him off, and they finally got the better of him.
Hopefully, they do like a Marcel versus Balor match or something. That'd be sick.
Would it though?
I mean, yeah, because NXT can have a good 3¾ star match in the middle of a card, but that's about it.
Can they though?
They've done it a couple times.
I've lost all faith after watching this episode of television, which is like the most boring, dry, pointless 2 hours of television I've watched in a long while.
This is like the next bit is like my least favorite bit of the entire show too.
Yeah,
because it was so nothing and boring and nothing.
Mia Yim wrestles Xia Li. Xia Li won after distraction from Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai is a steel cage match against Tegan Nox next week. Why is she already moving on to a new program with Mia Yim?
Well, it's an old program.
Could they not have waited a week until they finally blew off the Dakota Kai and Tegan Nox thing for good? Until they moved on to like, why are you already moving on when you still have the blow-off next week?
I also don't like that Dakota Kai is just transitioning into generic mean girl.
Yeah.
Like, that, she was so much better when she was, like, actual Scorn woman who had a reason for her being mad, and now she's just, I'm mean for the sake of being mean.
I also hate heaters. That's a role on a wrestling television show I never, ever like.
Unless it's Mel.
Well, Raquel Gonzalez is no Mel, that's true.
Bring back Mel. Actually, no, isn't Mel's now the heater for fucking Luther?
That's true. Big dark feud between Luther and Jimmy Havoc.
I want them to, like, finish that in a death match, but, like, a real death match.
He's just full...
On dark.
Exploding barbed wire and glass.
Yes. And Mel comes in, and she, like... It should be Mel versus Jimmy Havoc instead.
That's true.
And Mel should go over.
Like, this was another example of Xia Li beat Mia Yim, but Xia Li's like a total prop at this. That, like, no one cares about Xia Li.
She's not even a heel. Why is she getting this win like this?
And she's going nowhere, and she just beats Mia Yim after a distraction, which was basically the same finish as the first match on this show. So we had two, like, interference distraction finishes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
After the match, Raquel beats them both up, but two. Oh, God, Velveteen Dream is next.
He had a nice hat.
Velveteen Dream wants Roderick Strong in a cage match next week. Apparently they're putting every match in a steel cage, a very novel concept.
I'm down for that to be my lock of the week.
How dare you?
You like that? No, you like that? That was good.
Austin Theory was defeated by Tommaso Ciampa in a perfectly good little match.
You know what's funny after this match? That it's like, wow, Austin Theory, he went great. Wow, what a future star. I was like, what are you talking about?
He just got beaten by Ciampa.
That wasn't the story at all. Ciampa just ate him up.
That's my problem with a lot of NXT, and I'm going to get into this a lot more.
Nothing feels genuine.
Yeah, in the Forgotten Sons match, I'll talk about this a lot more. But, like, they don't do the work. They just, like, this is what the Warriors are supposed to think. Not what the story we've told, or not what the actual content, not the message you should get out of the actual content. This is just, we're going to go straight to the end. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Don't think about the steps along the way. Oh, Austin Theory, what an effort against Tommaso Ciampa. No, he was run through and beaten in 12 minutes or whatever in a perfectly fine, but not even remotely near star-making match. Like, the reason Darby got over losing to Pac, Jon Moxley, and Chris Jericho is all three of those matches were tremendous, and Darby looked tremendous in all three of those matches. Austin Theory just went out here and lost to Tommaso Ciampa, and it was fine. And, like, it was the focus of that segment wasn't even Austin Theory losing Tommaso Ciampa. There was a post-match is what Gargano, that's the takeaway, not Austin Theory. Who cares?
It's a stupid feud, and I can't believe it's been going for like 3 years now.
There was no heat. Eventually they got there where people started, like, actually no, it didn't even get there, where people started doing Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Sucks chants. So he didn't even get heat. He got dueling chants by the end. But when he started attacking him, there was nothing. These people did not care.
Can you blame them for not caring, though? Like, this is not an interesting thing. Like, because we haven't even got explanations for why these things are happening. We just got random run-in.
And Johnny's just, like, why is he a heel? Who cares? He's a likable man. He's one of those people who's a pure babyface.
I thought it was funny when, like, Mara was hoping, like, oh, yeah, Gargano's going to be on Corey Graves' podcast this week, and he's going to talk about how much he loves getting to work under his idol, Shawn Michaels. And I was like, all right, for this brand new heel, I want to go hear about his achieving his childhood dreams.
I did like that they threw in, maybe he'll explain why he attacked Ciampa.
It's like, how about he explains that on this show?
Go listen to Corey Graves' podcast to fill in the gaps of NXT storytelling. Undisputed Era, they're not going away. They want titles. That's about the extent of their promo.
They're old men.
They are very old men.
Ever since we've mentioned it, I can't not see it. Like, they're just aging frat bros being dudes.
Who are still hanging around the frat house like 10 years after they graduated. Who are still
literally hanging around campus.
Yeah. Long after they actually have or should have graduated, but regardless.
Garrett, every time I hear NXT's resident thick boy, I die a little on the inside.
An angel loses its wings.
An angel Gaza loses its pants.
Every time you see the word thick boy.
Oh, even worse, an angel Gaza adds another layer of pants.
Oh, Killian Dane defeated Bronson Reed, and I don't know, who cares? Like, who cares?
I don't even want to talk about this. Who cares about this at all?
Bronson Reed loses to everybody. Killian Dane will probably just be set up to lose to Dijakovic in a week. Who cares?
Or Priest. Oh, or God, Keith Lee on like a random 1 week NXT North American title match to build up to whatever is happening. Who cares? Let's get into the real story of this show.
All right, Forgotten Sons, Liam. Can you tell me when they turned babyface?
When they said they love America.
This is the dumbest shit. The Forgotten Sons had a little inset promo before this match where like, we're
veterans. This is the same one as last week.
Was it the same one as last week?
Yeah, it's just the same one as last week. They replayed the same thing from last week.
But they didn't put that on the show last week, did they?
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
This was on the show last week. Yeah.
I don't remember that last week.
I made a joke about how they got mad about Stolen Valor.
All right. I remember talking about it, but I don't remember this promo.
No, yeah, this promo was on the show last week.
But like,
that was them turning heel, turning face last week. But they're like, they insulted the vets.
You can do like an honestly good story with like the grizzled young veterans coming in disrespecting America, trying to overtake teams like the Forgotten Sons without having earned it. But they didn't do that. They had them do one promo in which they're baby faces now. Then they did a match in which the crowd did not treat them as baby faces because they had nothing to tell them that these people are baby faces. They've been the pointless heel team for their entire NXT run, lower card heel team that loses all the times. So when they turn babyface, without you ever showing to that crowd that they've turned babyface, why? Why should anybody care about the Forgotten Sons?
Because America, baby.
And it was a two-segment match for a feud that didn't deserve one. And the Grizzled Young Veterans were worse off from this. Forgotten Sons were worse off from this. Like, you could tell a good story about the... Like, do that.
It's there.
Just tell the story. God, I hate this show.
I feel like this story to work well needs some sort of slice of nuance or anything. And the whole time we have... Nigel going, well, it's actually okay that they made fun of them, and it's like, and then you have Beth screaming about how that's not fair at all, and it's like, can we not like approach this subject with any sort of like subtlety? Like, it has to be completely rammed into our faces.
That's not the way of the show, Liam. The show is loud, it's consistent, it just bashes you over the head without letting you breathe. Without letting you breathe, as I hiccup as I say, without letting you breathe. And
without letting me breathe.
You can't do that either. And it's relentless. It just beats you over the head with its endless loudness. I hated this episode of NXT. By the end of this episode of NXT, I was like, this show is worse than AEW was at AEW's low point.
I will take 1,000 Dark Order beating up the Elite segments.
At least that has a purpose. I'm just like, come on, guys. You have all the talent in the world. Sit down, think about how you're formatting this show, because people are like, NXT is not going to look more like WWE while it's on USA. That's not going to happen at all. And
this is a main roster show.
It is. It's a main roster show with all the trappings and like pointlessness of a main. It's probably almost worse than the main roster. Like, there's no angles on this show. There's no juice to it. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing to sink our teeth in. Like, we could talk for 15 minutes about Kenny Omega and Diamond Page against the Young Bucks. We don't, because we don't want the entire show to be like that. Because we do try to keep these, relatively speaking, an hour, as this will probably go about an hour 10, including the Revolution preview. Because there's like 1,000 of these podcasts, and you probably don't want to spend your entire week listening to us talk about two wrestling shows. But
I just want to say, like, I feel like we would have a better discussion and a more interesting discussion if we were talking about Raw at this point.
Yeah,
because at least Raw has long term storylines. I've actually started watching Raw a couple weeks now, and I'm like, this is better than NXT most weeks.
And it's just nothing happens on this show. Like, what's the big takeaway from this episode of NXT, Liam? What's your big thing that you think, oh, I'll remember that from the February 26th, 2020 episode of
that NXT? Rhea Ripley takes a long time to get to the ring.
We'll talk about that in a second. Oh, for the love of God.
Actually, I'm gonna defend that. I'm going to defend it.
I'm going to tell you why your defense is wrong.
My defense is right.
Tegan Nox got the promo. Apparently, she's still mad about Dakota Kai. Yeah, next week we have two steel cage matches: Tegan Nox against Dakota Kai and Roderick Strong against Velveteen Dream.
I hope they go an hour each.
Then it will be locked down. All matches inside the six sides of steel. Or the four sides of fury. That works. Damien Priest, he said it wasn't personal. He basically just wants a United States title shot. No, what's North American? There we go, title shot.
Charlotte versus Bianca Belair. I was watching this match and I was like, Bianca's really athletic, isn't she?
Yeah. This was a real nothing match, though, wasn't it?
It was pretty boring, but I did appreciate, like, I was looking at it, I was like, Bianca just blew me away in this match. Not because of anything she really did, just the way she moves. Like, she's just so athletic.
It's almost like they should actually be pushing her instead of, you know, having her be a prop in a feud between Rhea Ripley and Charlotte.
Yeah, like, I would be totally fine with her just, like, going to the token ladder match and winning it. I mean, like, yep, I am now number one contender, and then we can run it back and actually have her win.
Sure. So Charlotte beats Rhea, and then Bianca beats Charlotte after WrestleMania?
Yeah. Why did Charlotte become, like, technical wizard, busting out 10,000 different submission holds per match?
Wasn't that always kind of, like, obviously her finish is the figure eight, but she was always kind of like that.
But she's busting out, like, Dragon Sleepers and, like, Boston Crabs. I was like, I haven't seen a Charlotte match in 2 years.
She's gone down to the work rate show, Liam. She has to show her work rate.
Apparently. While I was watching this, I was like, when was the last full Charlotte match I watched? And I worked it out. I think it was her and Asuka at WrestleMania.
Which was a good match.
Hmm.
So then we have the post-match from... All right, I'm going to preempt your defense of it. I think your defense of it is going to be Rhea doesn't like Bianca, so that's the reason she didn't make a quick save.
You've taken my defense.
And I'm going to tell you why your defense is wrong. Why is she even coming out there in the first place, then?
But she's going out there to get into Charlotte's face. She's not going out there for Bianca. She's going out there to get into Charlotte's face.
So why do you run the angle where Charlotte attacks Bianca?
Charlotte's a dick.
It's just one of those... Just have... One of them come
that was
out
unnecessary. Or... Yeah, Charlotte could have just been in the ring, like gawding around and being like, "I am here and this is my show." And then Rhea could have shown up, but I'm just Bianca thing was unnecessary and just made her look weak.
Yeah, it's just we'll beat her up. We pinned her, and now we have to beat her up afterwards just to make sure you know she's not the star of this feud.
Yeah, but yeah, my thing is I don't think it was a save by Rhea. If it was a save, that was very stupid. But I think it was actually just Rhea coming out to get in Charlotte's face. Charlotte backing off.
If people haven't watched NXT, it was patently absurd. Like, where Charlotte she was pillmanizing the ankle of Bianca Belair. She was stomping on with a chair and then locked her in the figure eight. And Rhea Ripley's music hits, and like the crowd even were a little confused because they were expecting her to make the save, and she stopped on the top of the ramp. And I stomp. Again, I'd agree with you if there was some amount of nuance to it. If she stopped at the top of the ramp and they actually made it clear that she just wasn't saving Bianca, you know? If that's actually the thing they did instead of her doing her entrance, which is just stupid.
It's her brutality.
I will say, one thing I did like, though, and it was very rare in WWE land, somebody else's music hit, and Charlotte did not get distracted. She still just beat the shit out of Bianca.
She's like, shit, no, I'm gonna fuck her up. Don't worry about this.
And if anything, she hurried up. She did the thing you would actually do if you thought somebody was going to come and stop you, that you actually started doing it faster instead of not at all.
That she wasn't actually going to go and stop it.
Yeah. Which I do appreciate, because that the worst defender of that was the Money in the Bank match last year, where Ali was standing on top of the ladder staring at the briefcase and Brock's music hit, and in like the 15 seconds it took Brock to do his entrance, Ali could have grabbed the case at any time, but he was
and
just
ran
in,
away
yes he was just in stunned shock and could not possibly move. He was paralyzed with fear that he could it's
to be
stupid
fair, if Brock was coming at you, you'd probably be paralyzed with fear.
Again, I'd do what Charlotte did here. I'd work faster, not slower. I'd like, oh shit,
no,
it's Brock.
I'd be sitting there going, whoa.
But yeah, so Charlotte at least didn't do that, which I appreciate.
She's a real pro.
Charlotte and Rhea Ripley is your WrestleMania match. That's about it. That's NXT. I hate the show. I really hate it.
Well, which match did you prefer this week, Gary?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I'm going to go with the Grizzled Young Veterans again.
Oh, that's a good choice. It's a good choice.
It's Pac and Kenny Omega.
It is Pac and Kenny Omega.
Which show did you prefer, Leo?
I will think of a new joke for this every week. Madoka Magica.
Sure, that's just the Pop John.
It's AEW. What do you want from us? Hey, what do you want? Have a better show.
87% AEW, 13% NXT.
You know what I hope? I hope AEW, when it has the second show, they start doing it on Wednesday, and then we can just start comparing AEW show 1 versus AEW show B.
Why would they do it on Wednesday?
They make it 4 hours. They're their own competition.
They sell that show to USA to replace NXT.
Yeah.
That brings us to AEW Revolution this Saturday, live on pay-per-view.
I'm excited.
I agree with the general sentiment that this is one of the best built pay-per-views in a very, very, very long time.
Well, every match has a story.
And some element of meaning and potential reveals. So we open with Frankie Kazarian and Scorpio Sky against the Dark Order. One would assume we'll get the Exalted One reveal here.
Delete.
Which you were very upset when we didn't get it on this show.
I wasn't very upset.
I guess. No, the tease upset you more, just in case it's not Matt Hardy.
Yeah, because they're doing, each week is like another Matt Hardy tease. Because on Twitter they had a Matt Hardy tease, and now they're doing the obsolete thing. Like, I'll just be upset if they tease one thing so long and then they don't deliver.
It's just going to be Raven.
Raven is known to make things obsolete.
Pac will face Orange Cassidy in a match.
That was a good burn. Shut up.
Very, very excited for.
Yeah, it's gonna be great, and I hope it's gonna be a very classic Orange Cassidy match. You know,
yeah.
Does his shtick, gets beat up, has his brief comeback, and then gets brutalized.
But it's his first singles match in AEW, so I think it will get over tremendously well.
The question will be how they evolve his singles matches from this point.
Nyla Rose defends the AEW Women's Championship against Chris Statlander.
I want Chris to win.
But she probably won't, and again, she probably shouldn't.
I know, but I want her to.
All right.
Darby, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
But I want her to.
But I don't want her to win, though. She shouldn't win the belt this early.
Wow.
I'm both on the side of Nyla Rose shouldn't lose the belt this quickly, and Chris Statlander shouldn't win the belt this early.
Where's Riho? Where does she get her automatic rematch?
Probably on television at some stage.
Cool.
Darby Allin versus Sammy Guevara in a match I'm super excited for, because like, this is the future of AEW. This could be a pay-per-view main event someday.
Yeah. Well, I think this will be one of those matches that we look back on and go, yeah, that was their first match.
It was the beginning of the second era of AEW.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I really like... I think Sammy's been so good. Like, Sammy was someone that I was like, on at the start of AEW. I think he's had the biggest turnaround for me personally.
I've always been a big Sammy guy, so I'm very happy to see him doing real well.
This will probably be a match for like whatever their mid-card belt is eventually.
Yes, their television title.
Hmm. When are they going to do that?
Cody teased it and then said, but it won't be for a while, so...
Hmm.
We shall see.
Maybe we'll see it by Double or Nothing. Who knows?
Jake Hager makes his AEW debut to take on Dustin Rhodes in a match that they've been building since October.
Fuck yeah. Then we can get... Because you know what this means? We're one step closer to Jake Hager versus Darby Allin.
And one step closer to Dustin Rhodes versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that could be a filler like B pay-per-view match, couldn't it? I never even considered that, but yeah.
Especially if Jericho drops the title to John Moxley, but we'll get that in a second. Adam Page and Kenny Omega.
Wait, should we be doing predictions for these?
Dark Order, Pac, Nyla Rose, Sam. Ooh, that's a tough one. Who's gonna win that one?
I think Darby. I think you'd go Darby, and then Jake.
Jake, there you go. Do you disagree with any of my earlier predictions?
Nope. They're all the same. Imagine if SCU beat the Dark Order.
That would be very strange. AEW World Tag Team Titles, Kenny Omega and Hangman Page defend against the Young Bucks in what should be a tremendous match. I hope has a ton of heat because it's one of the best.
Probably be the match of the show.
Yeah, it's easily, because in fairness, if the show is missing something, it's like really standout work rate matches. But I think I should make up for that with really good story matches.
I think you're going to be your tag match, yeah, Allen, Guevara, and your Pac, Cassidy will be those matches.
But those have ceilings.
Yeah, like, yeah, but I think Omega, Pac, Bucks, like, doesn't.
Yeah, that's the only match on the show I'm like, oh, that could be, like, legitimately one of the best matches of the year. And I don't think anything else on the show has that potential.
Mm.
At least on paper.
But hey, you've been wrong before.
I'm wrong plenty.
And I'm what? Never wrong.
Bucks win?
Yeah. Say yeah.
MJF faces Cody in a match. MJF kind of has to win, I think.
I think you have Cody win.
Really?
Yeah, I don't see throwing away this like ace that you have. Like, the crowd is so into Cody, and I think they were always like, MJF is just going to be a dick for the sake of being a dick. I don't think he needs to be the top dick right now.
I think MJF should win for two reasons. I think MJF needs the win. I think the win will do a lot for him. And also, I don't think this is the blow-off. So if it's not, MJF winning makes more sense than to do some stip match on TV down the line.
You think they drag this out to Double or Nothing?
I wouldn't go that far. I'd do a mid-pay-per-view cycle TV main between them with a stip.
What's the stip, huh?
I don't know, just some street fight first blood matches suck. I quit, maybe some I quit.
Well, actually it might be first blood because Cody's whole thing is that he wants to give MJF a scar, so.
Yeah, but all first blood matches are bad, so don't do that.
Speaking of blood.
Jon Moxley will challenge for the AEW World Championship against Chris Jericho.
This is the hard one, though, isn't it?
This is very... because, like, you can make very good cases for Jericho retaining. You can make very good cases for Jon Moxley winning. I would personally favor Jon Moxley winning.
Yeah, I think it really depends, like, what you think the next pay-per-view match is going to be.
Yeah.
Because, like, I really don't know who they're going to put against either Jericho or Mox. Unless they drag it out until Double or Nothing.
Unless they do a rematch, yeah. Because I think Hangman Page against Kenny Omega is the Double or Nothing match. To which I think they might do Pac against... unless they're going to blow that off and do Kenny and Jericho at Double or Nothing. Because Kenny did beat Pac.
Yeah. I think the only... if Jericho wins... like, Jericho's only winning if he's dropping it to Kenny, is what I feel. And if Mox is winning, then Kenny's not getting the title match and he'll probably face Hangman.
Or Pac. Mox and Pac.
Mox and Pac could work. Remember, Brody Lee will probably come in at some point.
Yeah, Lance Archer.
You got Brody Lee, Pac. You got Archer, Darby. Something. You got stuff. Oh, Archer, Darby in like some sort of plunder match?
They would kill him. Darby would die.
Yes, he would. This is what's really interesting about Dynamite. I really don't have a clue as what their next title feud's going to be.
Yeah, so make your official prediction, Mox or Jericho.
I'll go with Jericho.
Ooh.
I did it for the discourse.
And that is our show. You can follow me on Twitter at GarrettKidney, GarrettKidney. You can follow Liam at Larrikin, LARRIKN. You can follow the pod.
Sorry, I was going to pimp your YouTube because you did a great DMC3 review.
Oh, yes, I'm reviewing Devil May Cry games purely for Liam and also other people that watch them. You're allowed to watch it. Just search Garrett Kidney. Search my name into YouTube. You'll find it.
A lot of good content.
Yes, I'm probably reviewing Oddmar today or tomorrow. That's a great game.
Ooh, I don't know what it is.
Neither did I. I bought it on a whim and I'm like, this game rules.
Nice.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at WarGamesPod, where you can vote in the poll where like people did this week, and 87% go, was it 87? I think it was 87%. I said it earlier. Regardless, 87% preferred all the wrestling this week. So you can vote in that poll if you follow us on Twitter. And if you would like more Elite coverage in your podcast feeds, you can listen to Everything Elite. If you would like more television show and WWE coverage in your podcasting feeds, you can listen to Shake Them Ropes. Thanks for listening, and bye-bye.
Go meet us in our Discord. We make mail puns. Bye.
Love Mel.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.